We have here in this chapter the deceiving of Isaac. Look with me at verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, who art thou my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee again for this privilege of coming into thy most holy presence. And O God, as we turn to thy precious word just now, we pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. O God, as we often pray, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we thank thee for the profit that we gain from the word of God. And Lord, even this passage today, there is a word in season for each and every one of us. O God, teach us that word, we pray thee. We pray, Lord, that you would come and open all of our hearts. And dear God, that as we leave God's house this day, that we might say that it was good to be here, for it was here we were met afresh with the Lord. So come and bless us now through thy precious truth. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In this portion of scripture, we read about Isaac being deceived by Jacob in order for Jacob to receive the blessing from his father instead of Esau. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure, to most of us, if not all of us. This incident in the life of Isaac, of course, makes very sad reading, because it reveals unto us that the home of Isaac, or the family of Isaac, was in a very bad state spiritually. In this incident, not only do we see the failure and sin of Jacob, and that is evident, but we also see the failure and sin of all the members of this family. Along with Jacob, Isaac, Rebekah, and Esau all sinned and failed the Lord in this sad episode that we have set before us in Genesis chapter 27 and 28. Indeed, when you think of all the spiritual blessings that this home enjoyed, when you study the events recorded in these chapters before us, Isaac's family is acting more like a heathen family instead of a godly family. As I've said, all the members of this family in this incident that we have set before us in Genesis 27 and 28 sinned and failed the Lord. Jacob's sin was deceiving his father into thinking that he was Esau. Rebekah's sin was encouraging Jacob to deceive his father. Indeed, Rebekah planned this whole deceiving incident. Isaac's sin was seeking to bless Esau with the birthright blessing when he knew that God had decreed that blessing was to go to Jacob. And we'll be saying more about that just in a moment. And Esau's sin was that he went along with his father's plan with full knowledge of what his father was doing. This, of course, is the most well-known incident in the life of Isaac. And it is also the saddest. But not only is it a sad chapter in the life of Isaac, But of course it is also a sad chapter in the life of Isaac's family. As I come to deal with the deceiving of Isaac today, and indeed as I come to deal with this whole incident, I want us very simply to consider the lessons that we learn from this sad event. What are the lessons that you and I can learn from this event in the life of Isaac and his family? The Word of God tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And no matter where we read in the Bible, God has a message, a very clear message for each and every one of us. And I pray that as we consider this incident that is set before us, that the Lord again today will take His Word and apply it to all of our hearts. What do we learn here? Well, first of all, we learn this. Even the godliest saints can sin and fail the Lord. That's the first thing we learn, I believe. Rebecca was a godly woman. In the course of these studies, we have noticed that she was a woman of prayer and that she was a woman who wanted God's will in her life. But here in this passage, she is encouraging her son to deceive his father. Of course, Isaac and Jacob, as you know, are recorded as heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to take the time to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, but you can do that when you go home, and you'll find there that Isaac and Jacob are recorded as great men of faith. And so they were. And yet, in Genesis 27 and 28, they are sinning willfully against the Lord, both Isaac and Jacob. How do we make sense of this? Well, we make sense of it by saying this, that even the godliest saints can sin and fail the Lord. And that's what we have here in this portion of Scripture. Of course, the Bible is full of examples of godly saints falling into grievous sins. Adam was the purest of men because he was created without sin and put into a perfect garden, but he sinned. Samson was the strongest of men, a man who the Bible tells us was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he sinned. Solomon was the wisest of men, and God used him to build a temple, but he sinned. David was the man after God's own heart, and God used him to pen the Psalms. He was inspired of God to write the Psalms, but he sinned. Peter was the man that God used to establish the New Testament church, but he sinned. And we could go on. Now, the point I want to make is this. If the godliest saints are capable of sinning and failing the Lord, then how much more you and I, child of God, in this 21st century? There's one truth that this story in Genesis 27 and 28 teaches us. It is the truth that we need to walk humbly before God, recognizing that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. So important in these days in which we live to walk close with the Lord. At very best, we're only sinners saved by grace. In Romans 12 verse 3, we read these words. You should underline them in your Bible. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, here we have the apostle Paul, and he's writing to the saints at Rome, to God's people, and he says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith. So important as we walk upon this earth, as Christians that we recognize that we are capable of falling and sinning against the Lord, no matter how spiritual we are, no matter how much we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. There's none of us, right from the pulpit, right to the back of the church, that are not capable of sinning and failing the Lord. That's why in James 4, verse 10, James says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." That's why Peter in his epistle says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Child of God, there's none of us who are beyond falling into sin and failing the Lord. And the moment we think that we are walking on dangerous ground. Here we have Isaac, the man of God. Here we have Rebecca, the woman of God. And they're failing the Lord miserably in this portion of Scripture. Just keep your hand in Genesis chapter 27. Turn over to Mark chapter 14. And let me again draw your attention to another example of a godly man in the Bible who sinned and failed miserably. Of course, I'm thinking of Peter when he denied the Lord. But it's important that you note what Peter said before he denied the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 27. "And Jesus saith unto them," he's speaking to all the disciples here, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am arisen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Here we have Peter, and indeed all the disciples, declaring that they would not deny their Lord, declaring that they would not sin against their Lord. But take a look at verse 66. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak." You know what that literally means there in verse 71? It means that he swore in the name of God that he did not know Jesus. He swore in the name of God. Took the Lord's name in vain. Here's the mighty Peter, the one that preached, the one that had been used even before this point in spreading the message of the gospel, the one who said that he would never deny his Lord. And he's denying Christ with oaths and with curses. O child of God, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. The godliest of saints can sin and fail the Lord. Let us always remember that. And let us always walk humbly before the Lord, recognizing that we need his grace every day, that we need his power. That's why the Bible tells us to be not filled with wine wherein is access, but to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course that portion of Scripture in Ephesians is emphasizing continually being filled. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost tomorrow. We need the help of God every day of our lives. And it doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge we have. We could be able to quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation without even looking at the Bible. And yet, sin and fail the Lord miserably. Great to have Bible knowledge. Great to have Bible knowledge. And we all need more of it, believe you me, in these days in which we live. But Bible knowledge itself will not stop us from sinning against the Lord. We need the help and strength of the Lord in our lives, and we need to recognize that we are still in the flesh, and we will remain in the flesh until we go home to glory, or until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. But turn over again to Genesis chapter 27. Something else I want you to notice. Secondly, we learn this, that sin and sinning can never be justified. Rebekah influencing Jacob to deceive his father in order that Jacob could get the blessing was wrong. Now let me say that again, just in case you didn't hear it. Rebekah influencing Jacob to deceive his father in order that Jacob could get the blessing was wrong. Now Rebekah knew that God had promised Jacob this blessing. Because at Jacob's birth, God had promised that the blessing would be his. Just turn back to Genesis chapter 25 for a moment. And look with me there at verse 23 and you'll see this. And the Lord said unto her, said unto Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. There we have God promising Rebekah that Jacob would be the one that would be blessed. Therefore, what Rebekah was desiring for Jacob was right and it was good. For she was only desiring what God had promised Jacob. But you see, how Rebekah went about giving this blessing for Jacob was wrong and sinful. The end never justifies the means. Child of God, doing wrong to do right is not right and can never be justified. Was God not capable of fulfilling his word and giving Jacob the blessing without deceit and sin? Of course he was. And of course he did. It is interesting to note that after this sad incident was over, that God caused Isaac to bless Jacob lawfully and legally. Take a look at chapter 28. This is after the sad incident is over. And look what it says in verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. And blessed him. And take a look at verse 3. And God Almighty bless thee. This is Isaac speaking to Jacob. And make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. God does not need anyone to scheme and deceive and pull strings to fulfill his word. God's word and God's promises will be fulfilled. Child of God, we should never force providence. And that's what I believe Rebekah is seeking to do here. She's seeking to force providence. Jacob was going to be blessed because that's what God decreed. That's what God declared. But he was going to be blessed according to God's word. And he was going to be blessed lawfully and legally. And so he was eventually. Oh, child of God, I pray that the Lord will teach us that truth even today as we study God's precious word, that we might realize that sin and sinning can never can never be justified. But notice something else here in Genesis chapter 27. Notice this, we learn this. When we sin as Christians, there will be consequences. When Isaac and Rebekah and their two sons sinned in this sad, beguiling incident, there were extremely painful consequences. The painful consequences of this sin was that it broke up the family circle. I'm sure that you've already noticed that. So much did Esau hate his brother, Jacob, for what he had done, that Jacob had to flee for his life. Look at verse 41 of Genesis 27. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob." And when Jacob went down into Haran, he remained there for the next 20 years. And by the time Jacob returned home, his mother had died. Jacob never seen his mother alive again. You see, after Esau had threatened Jacob, Rebekah found this out, and she decided that Jacob would have to leave home. And of course, that's what he did, and he went down to Haran. And Rebekah thought he would only be there for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. Indeed, look what Rebekah said in verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she said, she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be depraved also of both in one day?" Oh, she thought that this separation was only going to last for a few days, or a short time at least. It lasted over 20 years. In fact, it lasted that long that Jacob never saw his mother again. The consequences of sin. That's what we have here in this portion of God's precious, precious word. Therefore, this sin of deception, it brought hatred within the family. It drove the family apart, caused a mother and a son never to see each other again. Oh, child of God, never think that our sin has no consequences, because it has. Sin divides, sin separates, sin has always sad consequences, and sin will break up families. And that's what's happening here in this portion of God's holy, precious word. Oh, so important day by day that we recognize that we need the Lord in our hearts and in our lives and in our families and in our circumstances. We need the Lord's grace and we need the Lord's mercy. And we need to recognize that without His grace and His mercy, then we're going to fail miserably. Again, it draws our attention to walking humbly before the Lord, doesn't it? And recognizing that no matter how spiritual we are, or we think we are, that we need grace for the next moment of our lives. Something else we learn here, and it's this. When we sin as Christians, we need to repent and confess our sins. You know, in this story in Genesis 27:28, we see Isaac repenting of his sin. Take a look at verse 33 of Genesis chapter 27. And you'll read these words, and I want you to underline them. It says, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Now, he's trembling very exceedingly here because his sin is being found out. He realizes that he has been caught on. Isaac, I believe, in verse 33, comes under conviction of sin. This trembling was a trembling of conviction in the heart of Isaac. Isaac was convicted about the fact that he had gone against God in trying to bless Esau instead of Jacob. Isaac knew that the blessing was for Jacob. See, that's where he sinned. And he tried to bless Esau instead. How he ever thought he was going to get away with it is beyond reason. But now he comes under conviction of sin. And he begins to tremble because he begins to realize what he's doing is wrong. What he's doing is wrong. And I'll tell you, this convicting here that came upon Isaac is a blessing from God. It's a blessing. Oh, child of God, it's a blessing when God steps into our lives and points out our sin. It's a blessing. It may not seem like a blessing at the time, but it is a blessing. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that's what's happening here, I believe, in the life of Isaac. God's beginning to chasten him. God's beginning to reveal unto him his wrong, his sin. And I believe he repents of that sin. In fact, when you read on down this passage of Scripture and into chapter 28, you see clearly that Isaac repents. Look again at chapter 28, verses 1 and 3, especially verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. You see, Isaac then blesses Jacob lawfully and legally and properly, as I've said before. And I believe that chapter 28, verse 1 reveals unto us and shows us that Isaac had repented. This shows repentance on the part of Isaac. Isaac was sorry for what he had done. He realizes his wrong. And he blesses Jacob. He blesses Jacob. He always knew that Jacob was the one that God wanted to bless with this family blessing. But now he realizes that he has been doing wrong. And he puts that wrong right. And the Lord forgave him for his sin. And the Lord cleansed him. You know what the Bible says? Just turn up to it. I know it's a familiar text of Scripture, but it's a text of Scripture that we need to read in the context of this message, 1 John chapter 1. Again, it's a text of Scripture that I'm sure we all know very well. John here writing to the saints of God. I always emphasize that because it needs to be emphasized. John here is not writing to the heathen. He's not writing to the ungodly who have never known Christ. He's not writing to the Christ rejecter here. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to God's people. Always remember that. He's writing to the saints. And this is what he says to the saints, to you and me. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. My friend, there's a lot of people today who are deceiving themselves into thinking that they have no sin. They're living in cloud cuckoo land, wherever that is. Do they ever read this passage of Scripture? Do they ever read it in the context? Here we have John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's God's Word. He's writing to God's people. And he includes himself in the statement. Did you notice that? He says, if we. So John the Great, apostle, John, the great disciple, he includes himself. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here's the point that I want you to understand, verse 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, thank God there's cleansing. There's cleansing in the blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, child of God, have you failed the Lord today? Have you sinned against the Lord today? Have you stopped praying? Maybe you're finding it hard to pray because of the sin. Perhaps you're finding it difficult to read your Bible because of the sin. And the devil, of course, will come to you and he'll say, there's no forgiveness for you. Oh, you've failed the Lord and there's no turning back now. You might as well just get on with your sinning and backslide and go into the world again. Listen, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's mercy with the Lord. You remember when the Lord Jesus rose again, and he said to the women, go and tell the disciples that I've risen again. I'm just paraphrasing here. And you remember what he said just before he finished. Tell Peter. Well, make sure you tell Peter. Isn't that lovely that the Lord Jesus remembered Peter? The man that swore and cursed and said that he did not know Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't it wonderful, the love and the mercy of Christ to his people? Oh, thank God there's mercy with the Lord. And of course, Peter repented of his sin. And Peter was used in a mighty way after he failed the Lord. In fact, he was used on the day of Pentecost and he preached and over 3,000 souls were saved. God is merciful and will forgive and pardon our sins when we repent and turn afresh to him. Thank God there is mercy with the Lord. And Jacob found that mercy. And Isaac found that mercy. And Rebekah found that mercy. Because they all repented and they all turned afresh to the Lord and found forgiveness. Of course, Esau did not find that repentance because he was the Christ rejecter. And you know, the family was broken up in life. There's no doubt about that because of the consequences of this failure in the life of Isaac and Rebekah. But the family was broken up in eternity because Isaac, Jacob, and Rebekah are in heaven. But Esau went to hell. Let me close by saying this. Just because young person, or older person, just because you've been brought up in a Christian home, will not mean that automatically you will get into heaven. And you know, you can come and sit as a family, and it's good to see you coming and sitting as a family. Come to God's house. Be brought up under the sound of the Word of God. And yet in eternity, on the day of judgment, father and mother will be in heaven. Son and daughter will be in hell. Or maybe the other way around. Son and daughter will be in heaven and mother and father will be in hell. Maybe wife will be in heaven and husband will be in hell. Or the other way around. Oh, we need to realize that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except we repent, Jesus said, we shall all likewise perish. That's why we need to pray our families into the kingdom of God today. That's why we need to seek to win them for Christ today. For tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee. for the word of God, and we thank thee that, Lord, you just tell it how it is. If we were writing this story about Isaac, we would leave out this chapter. Oh, we wouldn't want anyone to think that Isaac had sinned and failed the Lord, or that Rebekah had sinned and failed the Lord, or that Jacob had sinned and failed the Lord. We wouldn't want anybody to know that. We would write the story differently, Lord. But we thank thee that thou art the author. And we thank thee that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Oh God, I pray today that thy word will find a resting place in our hearts. And oh God, help us individually. Help us not to sin against thee. Oh God, save us from sinning. Save us, Lord, from going into bypath meadows. Give us the grace, Lord, to walk with thee. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us in the blood. And oh God, we pray that when eternity comes, that the family will not be separated. Oh God, that there will not be Esau's in hell out of our families. But oh, that the family will be united in Christ. We thank thee for the love of God, and we thank thee that he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. But yet, Lord, we're so conscious that many today will not receive this Christ as their Savior. Oh God, I pray that you would turn the tide and that many will come and trust the Savior, even in this house this day, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 440 is our